relaxed and drinking during business hours on a rainy day in Los Angeles.
Should we start with hey, 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 or rain, rain, rain?
Rain, rain, rain. Go away. We're getting married a week from today.
Yes, and it will not be raining that day.
Okay, Rich says it's not going to be raining.
If it is, we'll just cancel everything. You get a refund.
Oh, there you go. We'll tell everybody flying in from New York, Miami, Michigan. Who else we got?
New York, Miami, Michigan, Florida.
Yeah, Miami. Yep,
Colorado.
Miami is Florida. I know a lot of people don't realize. Yes, it does. Miami is in that.
Where my family's from. It's actually in Florida.
I was in denial when I lived there, too.
I didn't know
I was
that.
Like, no, Miami's not Florida.
That's like people from New York who live in Brooklyn don't want to admit that they actually live on Long Island. They're like, no, I'm in Brooklyn, Miami. Where do you think Brooklyn is?
Miami is absolutely different from Florida. But anyway, hey,
Except they have the same governor.
It's raining here.
So I don't mind being in the dungeon today.
Yeah, we're in the dungeon because it's cozy. It's cozy.
It's warm.
What we drinking?
Today, we're kind of on an Italian kick these days. You know, you notice we've been drinking a lot of Italian wines.
Well, didn't we drink? We're drinking Cusimano.
Today we're drinking another Cusimano.
Because I know.
We're drinking another Cusimano wine. This is from Sicily.
And we drank a Cusimano wine last episode.
Yes. But a different wine. That was a red.
We're digging Cusimano.
We're digging this wine a lot. And so today we're drinking from Sicily, the Cusimano Chimeris. And this wine is 100%. Well, I guess if you're an American, you'd say Grillo, but it's actually pronounced Grillo in Italian. And this is such a beautiful, interesting grape.
Yeah, I like it.
It's from the, like, literally right at the base of the volcano, Mount Etna, on the island of Sicily. And you can, it's so minerally.
It's indigenous to that area.
Yeah, that's cool. Grillo is indigenous to Sicily.
Yes. And it's good and cheap.
Yes, it's very good.
That's what I like
about it. This bottle of wine, I think,
it's under $20.
Under $20.
Get it, you know, at fine wine retail shops.
Absolutely. And it's got all beautiful citrus in it and lemon curd and minerality.
Quick story, because I want to get to our really awesome guest today, but just a quick story about this winemaker. I did have the privilege of working with him a few weeks ago. His name is Diego Cusimano, and we go to Giorgio Baldi for dinner.
Ooh,
right?
Schmancy.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
Schmancy.
Really, and shout out to Marco, who really kind of runs a tight shit. He runs a tight shit at Giorgio Baldi. No, but yeah, Marco is awesome. He runs the place, so shout out, because the food is just so amazing.
We're going to have to go
and
there.
The atmosphere, it's like intimate, you know, and there's like a lot of buzz. And because it's such a hot restaurant, there's paparazzi outside. So Diego and I were walking in the restaurant and the paparazzi goes crazy. And I'm like, you know what? It's really nice to be recognized for my work for a change.
Right.
You know, that's nice.
Yes, they know you from ID Network.
So I thank you.
Yes. Those
true crime reenactment shows,
paid off.
It's hard work.
It paid off.
Really, it's hard.
When they're lining up for a snapshot of
it's
you.
A lot of IMDb credits, yes. I gotta say. And it's nice. Someone's watching. So I walk in and I walk like a little ahead of Diego, but the paparazzi's not following me. They're following him. I'm like, who's this guy? Well, it's the number one wine in Sicily.
Yes.
He's famous in Sicily.
Cusimano.
Anyway,
and they've been around for about 50 years. And it's all family owned. It's all estate fruit. It's really good wine.
Yummy stuff. So I am thrilled to have our guest today. Because he's new to Los Angeles, and I don't know anything about him except for the fact that he's wildly funny.
Right.
We have Tom Takkar on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
And that's Takkar, not Drukkar. So
that
don't rub him on your neck if you want to smell good.
You can do it. Rub me on your neck. It'll smell like something.
Just not Drukkar.
Oh, my God. Tom, I just have so many questions.
Oh, let's get into
it. Oh, my God. I'm so happy right now.
Thanks for having me. And this wine is great.
Great.
Well, you know,
it's under $20. I might have to go stop and get some of this on the way way home.
Well, I love that you love wine. I could tell. We had like brief correspondence back and forth via DM, and you seemed pretty into the wine aspect.
Yes.
Part of the show.
Big
so that's.
Drinker, so.
Oh, you are? I love it. That's always a big bonus.
I love when people are readily able to admit, oh no, are you kidding? I'm a lush.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, you know, I mean, it's
put beer on my cornflakes. You know,
but like, you know, and there's some people that don't drink that have been on the show, and that's cool too.
Well, we're in LA, too. Squares. People don't really drink much out here.
They
from the Midwest, and people drink way harder. And so
they really do.
Because they're in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm from Michigan.
That's true. Oh, yeah. There you go. Michigan.
Where are you from?
I'm from Indiana.
Where?
Indiana.
Bloomington.
Ah, Bloomington.
You know Bloomington?
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, is that right? What brought you to Bloomington?
The road.
Oh, you were doing the road out there? Oh, were you doing Bear's
on
Place?
The road. Yeah.
Oh, that's the first place I did stand up.
What is it called?
Bear's Place.
Bear's Place.
Can you,
right.
I don't know about the language stuff on here.
No,
I know you said shit.
Say whatever
earlier,
you want.
No,
you
I don't think you meant to.
I said shit.
Say whatever you want.
That place has turned into such a shithole. Oh. I mean, it wasn't great back then, but it was at least, I lied and told them I was 21 so that I could get on stage there.
Was Yoder still booking that room at that point?
No, it was Tom Sobel.
Sobel had it then. I must have done it for Sobel.
Yeah.
And not Yoder. Always, so I did it for Sobel.
I still work with Yoders. I still do their rooms.
Are they booking anything anymore?
Yeah, they still
Eric
book.
Is?
This is probably boring. I'm sorry.
Not
I didn't mean
all.
To get
no,
us into,
we, this
into
is part
this,
of,
but I love it. So
this
it's
is
like,
part of the tone
this is
of
all
the show.
I talk about we all the time.
As,
the Yoders,
as do we.
They still book Grins in Michigan.
Right.
In Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they still have some random stuff. And then Michael.
But is Eric doing it?
I hope not. I know, fucking hate that guy.
Dude, you're not the only one. You're not the only one.
He pissed me off so much. I did. Sorry. Again,
no,
this is too
be,
in the weeds.
Be you.
It's okay.
No, be
just
you.
Be you.
So I like to fuck around with comedians a lot.
Right.
I like to. I'm kind of. It's
like
my
a
favorite
practical
thing to do.
Joker.
Yeah. Or like just do a little bit of like.
Shtick about them.
Me and my friends are very mean to each other. I know I was listening. You don't like roasty stuff. I don't really love the roasts that much, but I love me and my friends are so mean to
me
each
too.
Other.
Me too.
But I think that's cool behind the scenes.
Yes.
Myself and two other comedians roast each other relentlessly almost every day online on Facebook.
This
Gary Cannon and Gene Pompa.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beyond ridiculous. Yeah. And people are like, why don't you guys like each other?
And it's like, no, these are my best
these
friends.
These are my friends.
Get that. It's a joke.
So I was on this festival that they put on, the Laugh Fest, and it was the Best of the Midwest competition.
Right.
And so they bring in, I think, like 10 comics, and you do two shows, and there's a winner, and you win like $3,000 or something like that. And my buddy Tommy Ryman won. He had the best sets. He was great. He's like a little bit cleaner. He was more what they were looking for anyway. But he was great, and we were all happy for him, whatever. But afterwards, they only tell you who wins. They don't place it or whatever. And I kept going around to the other comics, and I was like, man, that was so fun. It's so fucked up that they told me you got last place. That sucks, dude.
Oh, you're like me. I do that shit. I do that all the time.
It's so fucked up they told me that, dude. And it's like, I told him, I was like, that's my friend. And like, I was really playing into it. And my buddy Jeff was like, what the fuck, man? And I was like, yeah, it sucks. And then Eric comes up and he goes, you want me to tell you who really got what? And I was like, no, dude, you fucking suck. Get out of here. Like, I was like, you're ruining this fun bit.
They can't
like,
stand
you're
it
turning it into a real thing
exactly.
That sucks. Yeah, that guy's
oh,
an asshole.
Man, so
I love the other guys.
He really.
I hope
he
I don't
just
lose
don't
work
get
from
it.
This.
I don't know, but you know, when I first started doing stand up in the '80s, and I started going on the road full time, 1987. John Yoder, was my lifeline.
Sure.
I mean, he had 35 weeks of work. Between him and Tom Sobel and two other people in the Midwest, I was working 40 plus weeks a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Sure. Yeah.
And John had a great company. Yes. And at that time, he was out of Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric took over.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And they got down to 3 weeks worth of work.
Yep.
Eric literally tanked the whole business.
He burned like everybody because he wants to like play music and be a dipshit.
Right.
He had no business doing it. And the other brothers are all, they're so great. Michael and Jameson are awesome.
Well, Eric, if you're listening, we'd like to have you on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Let's turn this into a beef podcast. Yeah. I like that. It's not just me. You
we'll
said
him,
it too.
We'll give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
Is he booking Grins or is his brother doing it?
It's the other guys. I don't think he's even part of it anymore, to be honest.
No.
So I should hit up John and tell him I want to come back?
Yeah.
All right.
Or Jameson.
But really, I really firmly believe bad producers do not last.
They don't.
You're just, you know, because people aren't going to come back.
Right.
You have a bad show, you know, you rely on repeats.
Right. True. And it's like you're working with businesses. Like, they were running a bunch of rooms when I was new. And so getting in with them was like, they can make your whole year, like you're saying.
I worked Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan. I'm trying to remember what other states John had work in at that time. Seriously. Yeah.
I mean, by the time I got to, because I started doing their stuff when I got to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to do a year of their stuff and see how it goes. I'm going to say yes to everything and see how it goes. And there was like a few rooms that were fun and the rest, I was like, this is pretty brutal. It was already pretty desolate.
Oh, that's a shame because everything was great.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Such a flip. Like Sobel's done too. I think
Tom
he passed
died
away. That's right.
About
I used to talk to him
4 or 5 months ago.
I should have remembered that. I used to talk to him on the phone almost
every
day.
He was a good man.
Yeah. He was an interesting fellow.
He was an interesting cat out of Lexington, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And
well, I'll tell you, you know, one thing about Los Angeles, Tom, because I know you're new to town. Mm-hmm. Every comic thinks they can run a room.
Yeah,
there
I know.
Are so many comics who produce shows, yep. and so many of them are horrendous.
They all think they can headline,
and,
also.
You know, they just don't realize, like, you know, some of them, there are some comics who run amazing rooms,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's all about respecting your comics, man. Yep. Respect your comics.
I know.
Here's
Make
the
them
thing.
Feel, create a safe space.
So the thing you is, know? Sarah, the comedians who think they can run a room but are terrible at it are, first of all, they've never been on the road.
Right.
So they don't know how you're supposed
what
to treat comedians,
need. Right.
what the tone of a show is supposed to be, how to interact with the venue. That they don't know. They're open micers.
Yeah, yeah. And
who,
then they burn
you know,
a business.
Yeah, they have no clue what the business is, you know? And that's why, like, again, I'm not tooting my own horn, but when I had that room at Genghis Cohen and people were like, wow, this is such a great room.
Oh, that was a wonderful room.
That was a great room, yeah. Is it still open?
Genghis is open, but they have a new manager now who is literally a bigger dick than anybody I might have ever known.
Oh, that's brutal. I love that room.
I love it, too.
Yeah.
I shot my special in that room.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it looks great.
Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, if you need any, like, a heads up on if the room is worthwhile or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just
text
me. Exactly. We'll
give
you the 101.
The real dish.
Yeah.
And, like, some are just great workout rooms.
I love those. I need those.
Just
a
workout room
in LA.
Where the stakes are low.
Sure.
And you can do all new stuff and not have to worry.
I love that. I did that last night. It was so nice. But it was like, I kind of got scammed a little bit. And it was like, this venue hit me up and was like, do you want to do a show? And I thought, like, oh, do you want to do a set? Like 15 minutes or whatever, 12. And I was like, sure, yeah. I was open this date. And they go, cool, send us your poster and stuff. And I was like, what?
What
and
room
then it
was
turned
this?
Out, I actually don't want to say it because my buddy, had a long talk with him last night and they apologized. So it's okay. But there was a misunderstanding because they didn't realize that I was asked to do it and that I didn't reach out to them to put on the show. Because they have people who want to put on a show in their room and they're like, okay, it's a $200 fee. Plus
shit.
They take 50% of the door, which
not
is
a
not
chance.
A good deal. That
Bad
sucks.
Deal.
No. And I would have
never
taken
that
fucking deal.
I would never do that.
Sorry, again, this is comedy weeds, so I hope your listeners are okay with it.
No,
they're
comedy fans.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, a huge portion of our listeners are comics.
Great.
It just
okay,
it happens,
cool.
right?
So if you're a comic and you're running a show, or if you're somebody who wants to put on a show, this is the worst fucking deal I've ever taken. Where they take $200 off the top immediately.
Ooh.
So immediately, but it's a room fee. To do the show. I owe them $200. I just said I'll do a set. Like, somebody booked me. Now I'm in the hole $200.
Right.
So I agree. I'm like, okay, I don't understand. But I was finally putting together, like, oh, you're asking me to produce a show. So I book comics, whatever. And then I realize it's my buddy's wedding this weekend, and there's a dinner on Friday night. And I was like, shit, I need to cancel this. Also, I was like, I didn't even know that I was producing a show. So this is all over the span of like 3 days.
Oh,
and I'm like, actually, let's not do the date. And they go, oh yeah, well, I hope we can reschedule because if you cancel, you actually owe us $700. And I was like, I didn't even know what the fuck this was.
Did you sign anything?
That's what I was trying to remember, because I did this form. Oh. Like, they had one of those lists, like, when you fill out your avails at a club here, like, one of those form letter things. And I filled that out, but I don't think I signed shit. But it's like, I found out I knew one of the GMs, so I was like, I don't want to have beef with you, man. Like, he runs some shows that I like. But this is, I emailed them, and I was like, this is a fucking scam, dude.
I never
because if
heard
they, the reschedule also, they were like, if you reschedule, $200 fee, now it's 70-30, they take 70% of the door. So I'm making like $10 to produce.
You know, when we're off the air, I'm going to ask you.
I'll tell you.
Yeah,
okay.
When we get off.
And I'll never do a show there again.
Okay.
Like, but I don't want to. There, well, I hopefully. Think there's good people. Like, they have clowns that do their room, so they're like legitimate clowns, and they're like, "Well, you got to realize we deal with these clown shows and they're crazy." And I was like, "I don't know what the fuck. That's not got shit to do with me, man."
Was it Jumbo's clown room?
Yeah, that's right. That would probably be a better deal.
I've done stand up at Jumbo's.
Is that right?
I have.
I would love to do stand up. I've never.
How long have you been in L.A.?
Like a little, like a year, basically.
And you've but already, you already know about Jumbo's?
Well, my sister used to live next to Jumbo's, and so I would walk by.
Did she work there? I'm just asking.
No comment.
Welcome to L.A. And I,
hey,
and
you
I
got
just,
a sister.
I just want to talk about how you're here, like how I got word of you, really.
Sure.
I spend a lot of time in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to Sirius XM all day
long. Oh, sure, yeah.
Serious all day long because I hate myself because there's a lot of bad comedy.
Oh, of
on
course.
Sirius.
I do. I like to do that when I'm on the road and you're like,
oh
what
my
the
God,
fuck?
Like,
this
how
is on the
did
air?
This ever get aired? How did someone approve that? Right. Uh-huh. Like, it floors me.
Sure.
So anyway, it was really refreshing when you came on and you
didn't even know that I had stuff playing on
you
there.
You have
much.
Stuff playing.
That's
what
great.
Do you have an album out?
I do. Yeah. It's actually called Dakar Noir. Because of the
very good
Dakar Noir,
so
okay.
Check that out.
And
free
is
hours.
It, is it new?
It's like maybe 6 months old.
That's new.
Something like that. Yeah,
oh, that's
it's
very
new.
New.
Yeah.
That's very new.
Sure.
Where did you film it?
I filmed it in Fort Collins, Colorado, at the Comedy Fort. Great room. If you live in the Denver area, Fort Collins, whatever, get over there. I mean, Comedy Works is great too, but
love the Comedy Works.
This is a different town.
There used to be a Comedy Works in Fort Collins.
Oh, wow.
So that room might be the old Comedy Works because there was Denver and Fort Collins.
It might be. It's kind of a small room because the Comedy Works are both way bigger. This one only holds like 70 people.
I have a very funny Comedy Works Fort Collins story. I'll tell you guys after.
Yeah.
Tell us now.
Tell you, we're talking.
Jeez. Yeah, all right, just one
see,
thing.
See, I'm going to be a good husband.
Oh, okay, well, and then we'll go back to
you
that.
You were talking.
I do want to hear that story. See, I think this marriage
is
going to work.
You guys are great.
A lot of give and take.
This is good.
You know, compromise in the best way.
Right.
But so I'm driving.
Sure.
Sirius XM, listening to deplorable comedy per usual.
Sure.
Oh, my God. And but some of it is genius, right? Uh-huh. Some of it is really great.
Sure.
And you came on. And you did this bit about my cat from hell.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Firstly, you're so brilliant for doing something on cats because, you know, why? I mean, people are they either have a dog or they have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool people have both.
Sure.
And really weird people have neither.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you're a little weird if you don't have a pet. That's just me.
I have
unless
cats
you're,
now, and I'm obsessed with them.
I mean, unless you're, your schedule doesn't allow or whatever. But to not have pets, you're a little weird, and we have cats, so we're like you. And I can tell by the bit that you were a cat person.
Yes.
But I mean, just imagine the millions of people who are cat people that can relate to that story.
Yes.
Millions of people watch My Cat from Hell.
Yeah.
I auditioned for it.
Is that
and
right?
My
Did
cat,
you have a cat that was from
I
hell?
Had a cat that was from hell, Benny.
Want to see the
and
scars?
And we were, he literally, that's true. He has scars, as do all my exes as well. But
those are from you, though.
Yeah, that's
we were.
that's Sarah
good.
Has a
trouble. That's good. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, that's good. But we were on a veil.
Uh-huh.
Which means that we were like second runner up to having an episode
on
My Cat from Hell. Like, we went to the studio, we auditioned, we had a callback.
Did you get to meet Jackson?
Oh, I met everybody.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes,
I really want to meet Jackson.
Are you a Jackson fan too?
I am. I don't think he likes me. I'm certain he has seen the bit.
He's a little, he's a quirky bird.
He's a weird guy. I don't even make fun of him in the thing, but I could. He's a weird guy.
Intense cat person.
I am convinced he knows nothing about cats. And
I think
he
is a scam artist.
The reason why I believe that is because no cat ever told him anything.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's true.
But I will say I've taken some of his tips and they do, some of them really work. The blinking is big.
Yes.
Getting on the floor with them is big. Like,
people have been doing that for 5,000 years. Give me something new.
No, he's given, yes. No, he has, and you know, how they need their area to feel, to feel safe. They need like various areas.
I have an area like that too. I call it the bathroom.
They actually spend a lot of time in Rich's bathroom.
Oh my god.
Yeah. They love his bathroom. Yeah,
I'm surprised you let them in the bathroom. I have to close the door. Because the toilet paper roll will get like
the toilet paper roll.
It drives me nuts.
Okay, they bunch up.
They're
carpets,
taking a shower. They're shampooing.
They use
all the good stuff.
Opera when we leave, dancing. But you do this bit.
Oh yeah, we should explain the bit.
Oh my, Tom, it's like, and it has like 500,000 views on Instagram.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's the only thing I've had really go viral on Instagram. But it's the thing that's crazy about that story is it's 100% true. But also, it's way more than I can even put, because for me to present it in a bit, it's kind of got to be like tight and like you can't put in all the filler. I ran that account for a long time and I had so much fun with it. So I made, if you're listening, so, and you don't know the bit, I made an account for My Cat from Hell on Twitter because I found out they didn't have one. Because I was watching it all the time when I lived in Chicago. And I was like, they probably have a fun Twitter account. I want to look it up. They didn't have one. And I don't think Jackson had one either. So I made one and I just acted like I was a real account for like a year. And I forgot that I would forget that I had it. And then I would get drunk with my buddies and I'd be like, oh, I gotta check out my cat account. And I would get on there and I'd do this thing where I would search for people who were tweeting about the show. And a lot of times they would be making fun of the cat owners or talking shit about them. And I would tweet at them, please delete this. It's really offensive to the people who come on our show. I was like, it's really offensive. Like, these people are being very vulnerable and it's really disrespectful for you to do this. And people would get fucking furious.
I bet.
They would look at who I followed. And one person's like, you follow these comedians who make way worse statements than this. Because I just followed my buddies.
Right.
I wasn't thinking about that. But I got all these followers. And I finally was like, oh, I've built up enough trust by just liking comments and like just tweeting, like, thanks for watching the show this week. Like, very, it was fully genuine.
Authentic,
yes.
They thought you were the authentic show.
100%. I didn't have a blue check mark, but I had the logo.
Hilarious.
It looked fully legit.
Wow.
And then finally, then the bit I say I get drunk and I was like, let's burn this down. And I did. And so what I would do is I would look through, I tweeted out, send in pictures of your cats. And I'll rate them. I'll rate your cats. And people thought it would be like, oh, he's going to give them all 11s or whatever. I was brutal. I gave them like very harsh.
Cats a 2.
Yeah, yeah. I did that. Yeah. I was like 2, 3. This is a 5. This one looks like shit. Like, people were very upset. And then the other thing I did is people asked for advice about cats. They would tweet me asking for advice, and I gave them bad advice.
Thinking you were Jackson Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. And the one that I say got me banned, but I'm not sure if this was it. I think that I really pissed this woman off. This one woman made a whole blog about my account trying to get it removed, and like, she was really upset about what I said to her because I was like saying that she was being insulting to the guests or whatever, and she got really offended. And she's like, how dare you come at me? But the one that I say got pissed people off is I told people that in the bit I say that a person's like, my cat won't pee in the litter box. What do I do? And I say, you have to pee in the litter box to show them.
Right.
And I spell it out a little more. But the one that really did it was this. People were like, how do I get this cat urine out of my stuff? And I was like, this is going to sound crazy, but human urine, actually.
Wait, cat urine out of what?
Out of their carpet. Sorry. Oh. Yeah, out of their carpet. How do we get that out? Like, it's impossible. It smells terrible in my house. And I was like, you have to pee on top of it.
That's so funny. And so they knew you were obviously.
At that point,
some people really think you were Jackson Galaxy.
Yeah. I want to post my cat bit.
We should.
We both have great cat
Now it's like, I sell merch for that shirt, and it's like the best thing I've ever done.
What's it say?
Because in the bit when I say your cat's a three, people are like, what the fuck? And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not attracted to your cat. I'm not I call them a pervert, but I spell pervert P-U-R-R.
Oh, very funny.
I have shirts that say that with a little cat, and it's like changed my life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
You just gave me a great idea.
You should just keep going with cat bits. Man,
I know, I need some new cat stuff.
Well, it's become your mark, your brand, or a piece of your brand anyway.
Sure,
I saw
sure.
your other stuff.
A lot of my brand is that I just don't have a father.
Right.
Well, you're just funny. You're very, very funny.
Thank you very much.
And it's exciting to have new faces in Los Angeles.
It's good to be here.
Yes.
It's nice to meet some people here,
too. The good thing is, LA is really devoid of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever a comedian moves to LA, it really helps bolster up the numbers because
they're funny,
really shy.
It's welcomed.
And there's too many spots, too.
Too many spots. Dude, there's spots. They don't have enough comics to fill them.
I tell you.
Oh, my God.
But you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
And because you're funny.
Sure.
Welcome.
I appreciate that.
Welcome to LA.
Thank you.
Man, it's really refreshing.
It's really weird here.
It's weird, isn't it?
I'm getting used to it, but
this is a very weird town.
Yeah. I lived in New York before this for like 8 years.
That's my hometown. I'm from New York. New York's the best. And you're never lonely in New York.
Brooklyn? Yeah, I lived there for a little while.
New York.
But you know that's Long Island.
I know. I understand.
What part of Brooklyn?
I lived in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you Italian?
No.
Oh, wow. Did you pretend to be Italian when you lived in Bed-Stuy?
No, there was no Italian when I was there.
How did you become a comic? You're born and raised in Indiana?
Born and raised in Indiana, and basically I had a TV in my room from the age of like 13, and I just would watch stand up all the time.
Right.
That was back when Comedy Central actually fucking played comedy.
Yes.
And I would sit
Which
in my
was
room.
Around the same time MTV played music.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like now it's just The Office reruns. It's like I can watch that on Netflix, dog. It's so annoying because I did a special on Comedy Central too, and it played once. And now it's like nobody, it's behind a paywall. It's impossible to find.
MTV is doing like marathons of the Rockford Files. I'm like, how in the world is this anything to do with music?
What happened to MTV? Damn it.
The theme song to that popped right in my head as soon as you said that. Yeah, I loved that.
Me too.
So you got into comedy just by watching TV and realizing that you wanted to do it.
I loved stand-up, and I would watch, like, Todd Barry and, like, Jim Gaffigan.
I love Todd. I love Jim.
Yeah, and I would go to school, and I would tell all my friends the jokes I heard the night before, and one of my buddies was like, Tom, you love stand-up. You should try it. And I was like, you can't just become a stand-up comedian.
That is true.
Yeah, I was like, I thought, but you can. You can just, now especially, you can just do front-facing videos on your camera, and now you're a stand-up comedian.
No, I'm sorry. I'm never going to stop saying this. You are an aspiring comedian. You're not a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. Probably until you've got 10 years under your belt, you can walk into a room of 400 strangers and give them all laughs for 30 minutes.
You know, like you, man. This is good. That's not an LA.
I like you too, bro. I just want you
to
know that. Like, let's be friends. Let's be friends. Let's hang out. I dig your vibe.
You're saying all that, and I'm like, I fucking agree with everything you're saying.
I'm serious,
man.
These people are like, oh, they're open micers. And like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a comedian. No, you're not. The same way someone in med school is not a doctor.
Yep. But
you're not a comedian yet.
This is the problem too. It's like because of social media shit, now everybody is just like, well, I got myself 20,000 followers by posting a viral thing. Mm-hmm. So, and it's like, it's barely stand up or it's like a 30-second clip and it just happened to pop off.
Yep.
And it's like, you're still not a comic though. Like it's,
but the Funny Bone is giving them $5,000 for 4 nights.
I know. Yeah.
But only once.
Only once.
That's what a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
They will go out. They'll get a gig, but they'll eat shit because it's not easy to do an hour.
I know. Well, this is why a lot of people, when that started happening, they were like, thank God, the gatekeepers are done. They're done now. Mm. But now there is a gatekeeper. It's the fucking algorithm.
Right.
And it was kind of nice when we had real gatekeepers.
Well, it started with YouTubers.
Yeah.
What started happening was, and I remember this, like I would call like, you know, the Toledo Comedy Club or whatever. And they'd be like, yeah, we got to move your date. We got a YouTuber coming.
Yeah.
I'm like, a what?
Yep.
Mm. And then all of a sudden, that lasted for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and all of a sudden the clubs were like, all right, no more YouTubers.
Yep.
They just can't do it. They're funny for 5 minutes, and then after that, it's terrible, and people start walking out. Mm. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, but Instagram.
Yeah. Well, there was
They've also got a million followers.
There was a tiny middle piece. This was a short one, but Vine. And you're like, they were funny for 6 seconds.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to do an hour? They did 6 seconds.
6 seconds. 6 seconds. Yep. I know.
And I remember Twitter, you know, being like the perfect platform
I loved Twitter. I used to love it. I just posted something. I hadn't done this in a while, but because I was doing a bunch of new material last night, and in LA, that's so hard to fucking do.
It's really hard.
This is such a showcase town where it's like, I'm mostly going up to the store.
New York's a way better comedy town. Why did you come here? Just out of curiosity. This is the worst. This literally, LA is the worst comedy town in the country.
Will you say that to my wife?
I will be happy to. I will tell her.
My wife wanted to move here because her family's here. We started trying to have kids.
I can understand that.
That's the reason. I am not a fool. Who was like, I know where's a good comedy town.
No, this is the worst. New York, Chicago.
I
hope that's true.
I agree, but I agree with you and I agree with me. Like you kind of, you know, we need to go to New York, honey. Like you just have to expand, you know, your network.
It's true.
Well, I know that, you know. But in L.A., if you come here thinking I'm going to go to L.A. and I'm going to get good at stand-up, you cannot. It is virtually impossible.
Right.
You've got
that
to get out of town.
Yeah. I don't know how people start here. I don't understand.
Well, like, they never get better.
I mean, New York, I get it because you can go up a lot and, like, there's a million places.
But there's also, but remember, let's say you're working in New York and you're in the city. Mm-hmm. You also have Queens. You have Long Island. You have Brooklyn.
You have
Jersey.
You have Maine.
You have Connecticut.
Philly.
You've got Philly.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many outlets for you to be getting good. But in L.A., nobody leaves their own backyard.
I know.
Then they think, I've been an open micer for 19 years now.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been married?
Just over a year.
Oh my goodness, newlywed.
I know, And
I'm calling
you
for advice. I'm calling you.
Where'd you get married?
We got married in Brooklyn.
Oh, so New York gal?
Yeah, the Bell. She lived in New York. We met in New York. She grew up partially in New York and then San Diego.
Right.
And then her parents moved to L.A. when she was in college. But
what does she do?
She's in podcasting and journalism for an NPR affiliate. She works at LAist. And so that's another reason we moved out here is her job was here and she was doing it remotely and her hours were all fucked up. So she's a morning person. So starting work at like noon and then getting done at like 8 p.m. was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I have to know.
Yeah.
Where in L.A. did you move to? What part of town?
We're on the east side. It's a neighborhood called City Terrace, which nobody has ever heard of. But it's between Boyle Heights and downtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's the only place we could afford to buy a house.
Right.
So, okay. You bought a house.
But you bought.
We did.
And that's a good thing because you've already made money. You can't lose your money. It's virtually impossible to lose your money in LA real estate. Virtually impossible.
That's what our real estate agent said.
They are correct. Because I dabble in some real estate.
It will always go up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everybody said. So I was like, I don't want to be paying rent. I wanted to move to Los Feliz or something like that. But like somewhere a little. I like to be
$2 million.
Where I can walk. I know,
mortgage
dude.
$2 million.
Easy. And that's for not even
by
that
the way,
great of a
the
spot.
The difference between Los Feliz and City Terrace is Los Feliz is $2 million, City Terrace is $350,000.
I'm kidding. I would kill for $350,000.
I'm telling you, right?
My goodness.
No, well, it's still, even for like Highland Park, we were looking because I was like, I'd spent some time there.
Nice
it's not a bad area. I love it.
Yeah, me
but
too.
That $1 million house. My buddy Nick Vatterott posted a really funny video of him looking at houses on apartment finder, some shit like that, or whatever real estate thing people use.
Yeah, apartment finders.
And,
Zillow.
Yeah, that was
Homes.
And $1 million house in East LA, and he was posting what it was. And there's one of the pictures is just a water bottle hanging from a lamp. And you're like, that's in the picture? Like, that's in the house?
It's ridiculous.
But I found a place in Highland Park. It was literally the floors. There was smoke in the picture. It had just been on fire. And they were like, as is, motherfucker.
980,000.
Yeah. A million. Like, a million, no conversation. If you ask for anything less, you're done. We're hanging up. Like, and I'm sure they got it.
It's a burn down, pun intended. Yeah. That's so funny.
It's the weirdest thing in the world, mm-hmm. LA real estate. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. My family has a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
So I actually dabble here, and I dabbled in New York.
Nice.
And it's the craziest thing. Mm-hmm. New York especially.
Oh,
because
yeah, dude.
New York's a weird, because New York's an island.
Yeah.
And it's the only place in the United States mm-hmm. where waterfront real estate is not the most expensive.
It makes, yeah. Mm.
Fifth Avenue.
Because you're farther away from shit.
Buying on Fifth Avenue uh-huh. is more expensive. You buy a condo on Fifth Avenue, it's more expensive than buying on the water on the island of Manhattan.
But that's,
that's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That is truly insane. But it is, like, I do get it, because it's like, what are you going to ferry places?
Exactly.
Like, it kind of sucks.
And same with LA. Property in Huntington Beach and Long Beach and is less expensive than LA.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's but Huntington Beach is Orange County.
Oh, right.
Right, but it's water.
But in LA, the most expensive real estate is either on the shoreline or, believe it or not, the Venice canals.
Weird. Huh.
Yep.
Well, that's a very beautiful area.
Unless you have, like, you know, a $250 million home in Bel Air with a heliport and stuff like that.
Oh, I got to get one of those.
But it's really, they're cheap.
Well, you're on your way, Tom.
If I put a heliport.
Two more gigs like the one you did last night and you're there.
Yeah, there we go. The one where I owe them.
Owe money.
I owe them $30. I was pitching to my friends. I was like, this is the most LA comedy shit of all time. I'm going to, not only am I not making money, I'm going to owe them when I leave. Luckily, I made a tiny bit.
Tom,
I
your glass looks empty.
I would love a little more.
No empty glasses allowed.
I
got
to go to a wedding.
This is called drinking during business hours.
I love it.
Yes,
and
he's going to a wedding later.
People is doing business.
Yeah, that's right. We usually do these things during business hours.
I haven't day drinking quite a bit.
It's very rare that the guest takes a second glass.
Oh, we're so happy. I love
seriously.
It. Cheers,
we won't say any names, but we have had quite a few tickets.
We'll do a double date.
I love it.
Does your wife like good wine too?
Yes.
She does. She likes wine. She's trying to drink. She drinks way less than me, and so
she's trying to drink more.
Well, you said
she's trying to drink more.
You said you're trying to get pregnant, right?
Yeah. I love it. It's so funny. I said that on stage last night, and all of her friends were there, and I was like, "Oh shit, I probably shouldn't be telling everybody."
Oh,
but
geez.
Also, it's like,
who's helps?
We're trying. Yeah.
Who's helps?
Is that right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She was like, "I'm trying to drink less because I want to." She reads all this shit.
Drink less when you get pregnant.
That's what
right
I said.
Now, keep drinking.
That's what I said. Like, do it now.
Yes.
But I'm drinking less.
She could have come. We encourage spouses.
I have to be honest with you. I don't subscribe to the whole, oh, when you're pregnant, don't eat this, don't drink this, don't do this.
I think you should do meth.
I was born in the 60s.
Yeah.
They were smoking and drinking
LSD,
when they
baby.
Were pregnant. They were eating Twinkies. They were eating tuna fish. There was no Murray. It didn't matter. Look at me.
Well, how tall are you? No.
What about that very famous,
I'm 5'9", 6'3", with ego.
What about that infamous photo of Jackie O and the cigarette on the yacht?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, that is, have you seen it? It's really a very famous photo. It's
well,
everywhere.
She made another Kennedy, though. So.
She was, like, huge, and she just went and just really enjoying that cigarette.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've read that you can drink, like, a little bit of wine and stuff when you're pregnant, like a couple bottles.
Of course.
I think towards the end.
Let me tell you something.
I think toward the end you can.
I was born in a time where smoke
while you're pregnant, by the way.
Everybody smoked cigarettes. Everybody was drinking. Cocktails were on every TV show.
Yep.
Everybody had a cocktail cart in their house. With I wasn't born craving cigarettes and booze. Weed, but no cigarettes and booze.
Sure. That's the thing out here. Everybody's like, they like weed out here and less booze. In the Midwest, it was all booze.
It was all booze. So,
because the weed sucked.
Yeah, that might be it. I smoke out here, but it's I've been trying to drink not on the weekdays. And so I've been smoking weed because I have to make tomorrow happen faster somehow.
It helps.
So,
it helps.
So,
I'm a big proponent.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know that I love it. I do it a lot, but I don't know that I love it. I just get so not paranoid about, like, cops or whatever, but it's like paranoid about like, oh, I'm not a good enough friend or husband or something. I don't know. It's all this shit gets. Well, I don't chill. Yeah, I don't know how to chill, man.
Hang out with me. I'll show you.
You have big goals.
400
you know,
Grateful Dead shows. I have a pretty good idea.
There you go.
Oh, my
That's
God. Rich will tell you. Jeez. Deadhead over here. I have a bit on that about how he's a notorious deadhead.
Almost all my friends out here are deadheads. I've never gotten into it.
Oh,
I've never tried
either. So that's what makes it so funny, because I'm the opposite.
Sure.
You know, so it kind of works that mm-hmm. bit. But talking about bits, like how, when you started comedy, did you have a lot of support in Indiana?
No.
Yeah, like, right? I mean, you know, they probably looked at you like you had three heads. When you
no, I had,
anyone,
like,
you know?
There were people, because I wanted to do it from a pretty young age, but there was nowhere you could do it. There wasn't, like, open mics in Indiana. There was Bear's Place. Bear's Place was kind of the only game in town, and the only thing really that close by. Crackers in Indy was the other option.
I used to work Crackers. Yeah. Aline Stefik used to book that room.
And oh,
She would pay you $800, and which sucked for the week.
That's
but
really
she'd go,
funny.
But.
Yeah.
But. You get to do a local TV show.
Which we all fucking hate doing. That's so funny.
It was terrible. It was the equivalent of cable access.
That's so
funny. Yeah,
I'm so
naive. I'd be like, ooh, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, it was terrible.
No, every time I'm booked to do local TV, I'm like, this is going to be 3 minutes of a waste of time. Nobody's coming to the show for this. I was in St. Louis last week, and they were like, bad news, buddy. We have radio today, but the TV had to cancel. And I was like, thank God. I want to go back to bed, dog.
I know.
I got drunk until 2 in the morning, and now I don't want to be on TV.
So radio's more effective.
I love radio. I think radio, local radio, you can be funnier.
Absolutely.
It's a little looser. Yeah. Also, it's like I love radio. I like doing radio.
I
it's
do,
way
too.
More fun.
Rich has a... Yeah, I'm big history in radio.
TV, they're just a little more, like, it's way faker, and, like, they have to be. I don't blame, I'm not mad at them.
To
but
look
it's
good.
Like, yeah, it's just weird.
Hair.
Like,
and they want you to
vibe.
Do stuff when you do local TV. Like, you know, he's going to be with us today. He's the local comedian, but he's going to be making an egg in the hole sandwich for you.
I honestly, I prefer that. I would rather do that shit than what a lot of times they're just like, so, you got a funny, what's funny? And like, all right, I just
that
do a bit
joke.
Or something. And so I was in Vegas and I did two back-to-back morning shows. And the first one, they were like, so, what's going on? And I just did a bit. And they didn't know how to interact. They go, yeah, I saw that in your special. I was like, what the fuck, man? Don't say that.
Don't call me out.
Yeah, you're supposed to go along with it. You're
right.
Psycho.
Dumbass.
So
it's supposed to be yes and.
Yeah. Not like, yeah, I heard you say that. I was like, you made me look fucking crazy, dude.
Oh,
God. I was like, you set me up for a bit.
Oh, no.
But I was like, I thought you wanted me to do that. And then the next show, the person before me was eating this like insanely spicy pizza. It was like a food challenge. And I was like, I'll just do that. I was like, can I just eat the pizza too? And they're like, yeah, you're psycho if you want to. And it was... way better. Like, more people, I think, came to the show. So they're like, you're a psycho, dude. You stayed.
You ate the spicy pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we do an Egg in the Hole episode? What
sure,
was
I love Egg in the
Hole. I think
hole.
That's
oh,
a
yeah.
great
you know what it is,
idea.
Right?
No, I never
egg
thought
oh,
of that.
Oh, yeah, just bread with a hole in it. You throw an egg in there.
You cut the center piece of bread
okay,
out.
Okay, so it's pretty
you put it in the frying pan. You crack the egg over it. The egg goes through the hole, and it cooks.
Well, let's do that.
I love
it. I grew up on that shit.
Let's try to make that happen.
Yes.
Are you acting too, Tom?
I try. I got a manager for it. I was in like a short film and I had a good time with that. And then I've like auditioned a little bit, but since the pandemic, I've kind of like not really auditioned much.
Well, neither has anyone.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I would like to. I have fun doing it.
Different muscle, right?
Yeah. And
totally
I like
different
it. Like, it's
muscle.
A good time.
Because it's not
when
just
I do
the
it's
not just the pandemic. It was compounded with the strikes. So,
I know. Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And me moving here. I moved here right like when the strike started, basically. And I was like, God damn it. Like, not good timing.
Not a good time.
Thank God your parents live here, honey.
Yeah, I know.
I hope their basement is empty.
Yeah.
Where's moving in?
Yeah, we did live with them for a little bit. They're great.
But that's cool. And that's good to know. I think,
I'm trying.
Yeah, and always throw it out there because you never know.
For sure.
Know?
I mean, I took a couple classes in New York and I had so much fun with it. I need to do that again out here. It's just like you get overwhelmed with like, what
so
class
many.
To take. Some of them suck shit. And you're
most.
Like, yeah, yeah. So you're
it's
like,
only
oh, good.
A handful
I wasted
of really good acting teachers here. That's my background.
Oh, really?
I was an actor before I was a stand up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You're one
and
of
I'm
those.
Like, I'm, yes, I'm one of those, like, I'm really serious about the acting craft.
Sure, you know? Sure. That's like, I know comics who are like that, who are like, comedians think they can fucking act and they roll in and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I can be funny on camera, but I'm not. I can't cry or anything like that. It's hard for me to like get. I would love to. I'm sure every comedian is like this, but it's like I would fucking love to be the weird neighbor.
Yeah.
Who like is
totally
creepy
see that
or
from
whatever.
I see that resonating.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Seinfeld really, the thing I really respect Jerry for, and notice that it's only singular, the thing.
Yes.
That I respect Jerry for is that when he won his SAG award, mm-hmm. he accepted it and he walked up to the podium and he said, my name, you know, because they're all going, my name is so-and-so and I'm an actor. And I, you know, they all do that thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But there's, and Jerry walked up and he grabbed his... to take his thing, and he goes, my name is Jerry Seinfeld, and I am a horrible actor.
I remember that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And
it
went,
And people really, you know, hubris goes a
long
way.
Yes, because he was a horrible actor.
Yeah,
surround, they satellite him with good actors.
But to be self-deprecating, I think, is a
for sure.
risk. People can resonate, and that's how you build your fan base, by not being a pompous
right.
ass.
For sure.
I feel
bad. I got to wait. You asked me about the Indiana thing, and then I went on a thread of.
Who cares?
It's okay.
A very organic conversation.
Exactly.
That's why we run it that way.
It's fine.
This is
I was just curious about, you know, your family and, like, their support.
My mom is supportive. Like, it's funny because I don't know if she thinks I'm funny, but she, because she's funny. Like, was the funny person. We worked together at this, we worked together at a hospital when I was like 18 till I was like 25. I worked at this hospital and, she was like the funny person.
But what were you
job.
Doing at the hospital?
I did a bunch of different jobs. I was in the emergency department.
Oh my God.
I would, get people's insurance shit. I was the annoying person, or I would wheel them to their rooms and like get
that's
their
an
vitals
orderly.
And stuff.
Is she a doctor or a nurse?
She's now a nurse practitioner. She was a nurse for a long time. When I was there, she was still a charge nurse.
She's an angel.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. I was working there to like pay for shit during college. I had no part. Like I was, whatever. I just had that job for a long time. But I was trying to be a doctor. That was the other thing, is I was like going to go to med school, and then I started doing comedy when I was like 19, 20, something like that. Like doing improv and shit because there was no stand-up place. And then a club opened in my hometown, and then that changed everything because
so
I started
like,
doing open mics.
Medical school. Yeah. I bet your parents were real happy about that.
I kept dangling like, well, maybe I'll go to maybe I'll become a PA or an NP or something.
Right.
And then it slowly turned, because I was just getting more and more deep into it, and it was going kind of well. So I was like, I had this security guard at the hospital one night, because I would work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and I would just shoot the shit with all the other guys there. And this guy was like, dude, do comedy. If you like try to go to med school for your mom, you'll resent her for the rest of your life. She won't like that. And I was like, man, this is good advice. Like, I'm glad I listened to him. I thought that if I was a doctor, I could probably afford a place in Los Feliz.
You also probably learned. You also probably learned that being a doctor is nothing like the operation game.
No, that's true.
There's no there's no wrenched ankle.
Hey, you see a lot of weird stuff in those X-rays.
Man, I bet you have some stories.
Honestly, it's funny because I kind of shut out of my brain. Because when I first started doing stand-up, I would like try to tell hospital stories, and my mom, like somebody at the hospital actually saw it, and they were like, don't fucking do that, like you'll get fired, even though they weren't specific. They were like, just
you
be
were
careful
still there
shit. Yeah,
I
was
you were
still
okay.
Yeah,
well, I guess, yeah, especially if you're like saying the hospital, like, we amputated the wrong leg today.
Yeah, exactly.
Over here at St. Vincent's.
I'd mostly talk about like drunk people who would come, because I worked night shift, it was in a college town, so it was mostly just drunk kids. Who we had this girl who thought she was so drunk, because, you know, these college girls cannot handle their booze.
Oh, believe me, I'm still one of them.
True.
There was, at Bear's Place, these people would go to Bear's Place, they had a drink called the Hairy Bear, and the Hairy Bear had 7.5 shots of alcohol in it. And people would drink two of them, go away. Like, they didn't the lights would go out their eyes.
Right.
Oh, and then they would come to the hospital later that night, because they were like, had alcohol poisoning, or they were just so drunk that the cops would find them in the streets and they were underage.
Oh,
they'd be
man.
Like, you're either going to jail or you're going to the hospital, and they go to the hospital. And this girl thought she was in like a mental institution and needed to escape. So she asked to go to the bathroom, and she like tried to do this Mission Impossible move where she climbed into the ceiling. There was like a tiled ceiling. and she removed one of the tiles and climbed up in there when she was going to escape out of the hospital. And then what happened to her is the first step she made, she fell through the ceiling and the entire ceiling came down and she fell through the sink. It
wow.
all was destroyed.
I
was
cannot
so
believe wow. you, yeah. you remember that about
That's
me.
That's like the maid thing I remember. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering if you, when you reached out, I thought it was just
crazy that you remember that story. I thought that was behind me.
Very funny.
Wow, that's great though.
That's hilarious. That's
really but I was telling cool. people that story and they were like, you can't be telling people these
yeah,
stories.
The, yeah, yeah. Over here down the road at 6319 yeah, yeah. St. Vincent's, where it all happens. No, but that's fun.
That
I mean,
is
I,
fun.
Well, now you can do yeah, it yeah. though. You
that's
can
a
do-
good point. I try to think back to it. The problem is, like, I have a very dark sense of humor. Other than, I'll do very silly
you don't
like,
say.
Cat stuff, but a lot of my stuff is like, my father's a piece of shit. My stepdad, I wanted him to kill himself and stuff. Right. Like, there's all this stuff that it's like. And then I, when I tell hospital stories, they're kind of dark. And then people are like, what the fuck? And so I have to be really careful about what I say to, that it's palatable on stage.
I started writing. So my dad passed away about 15 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be. He Thank was a God. Horrible human being. And I have some notes
sure.
about
oh, you're
him.
A comedian.
And,
yeah.
and one of the notes I have is actually about saying, you know, my dad died. And people go, oh, no, no, it's okay. He was a fucking piece of shit. And yep. people go, oh, no, yeah. no, no, it's okay. He's dead. He won't know I'm talking about this.
Uh-huh.
Which yeah. I think is hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
But, you know, I
it's
know.
It's a tough thing. Yeah.
It's a tough sell.
I had to do, so my father died fucking forever ago now, like probably 10 years ago. And
I'm sorry.
Oh, again, piece of shit.
Once
I never even met the guy. So
once again.
He left when I was
Oh,
like
how
two,
lucky
so.
For you.
Yeah.
I had a no mine.
Yeah, well, I had a stepdad to fill that fucking role.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, so I was trying to do bits about it when he died, and they're bombing. And he's Indian, so I was also doing this Indian shit.
American Indian or let me tell you what the piece of garbage yeah. my father is.
That's it.
Oh, okay. Wait a second. Gotcha. I just want to make sure I'm following. So your real dad was Indian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hence Trakar.
Trakar. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Trakar, yes.
That was his last name. And so when he died, I was trying to do these bits about it and doing this Indian stuff. And I did a bit about how people would ask me if I'm feather or dot all the time. And so I had that
feather
bit.
Or dot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was like my first like big bit. That got me a lot of
that's
shit.
That's hilarious.
That got me on Conan.
It got you on Conan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I was trying to make this stuff about my dead dad work and people would turn off. And I realized I had to like make it look like I thought was okay with it, you know. And I wrote this line that I was like, he died because my vision board worked, and that would get a pop. So I was like, okay, if I can just write one little joke. But the problem is I have all this new stepdad shit. I'm trying to do the same thing where it's like, it's really dark and he's alive, but I wish he was dead.
Right.
And,
it's
a long story.
Just
but
push upon a star.
But
I think, but this is what's really interesting, because I think that we have to find that line, that dichotomy, right? Mm-hmm. Of just being right on that line of irreverence and upbeat versus dark. And
yes.
you seem to be doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
My cat from hell is very sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a sweet bit.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yes.
Some people get, one person got upset with me about that because they were like, it's really mean to the cats. And I was like, it's a joke.
It's
I love
a joke.
Cats.
And the cats don't speak English.
Yeah, they don't hear it.
They don't
is,
know.
It's
yeah.
great for television.
Yeah.
That bit. I can see you on late night doing that bit.
I did. That clip is from Fallon. Or the, the clip that's on my Instagram is from Tonight Show.
Right.
Oh, I didn't realize it was from the Tonight Show.
Yeah,
like, well,
yeah.
that's it's a not, familiar-looking blue curtain.
Like the cats are at home sitting with albums. What do you think?
Oh, I thought that you did your album, and that was
no.
okay. Oh,
so
awesome.
I did my album.
Okay.
I have that bit in the YouTube special too, but that particular clip is from when I was on the Tonight Show.
And is that when you were like, I got to move to L.A.? Or were you
No,
already?
I mean, it was just my wife wanted to move. It was after we got married, she was like, we got to move to
and
L.A.
And the Tonight Show's in New York. Why would I leave?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, that's
but
sort
like,
of like
I've,
making it a little
the,
bit, you know?
I mean, the reality is I do think there's value in being here. I'm not, like, I try not to bitch about it too much.
Right.
My wife gets bummed out. So, but New York was great because you could really do a lot. Like, the you could make a living just doing stand-up in New York.
In the city.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here I have to leave, like, every weekend.
It's not a huge living, but
yeah, but it's
make some money.
I could at least make enough to be fine. And, like, and if I wanted to do the road, I could do that. I had the option.
Right.
Here I have to do the
road. It's easier to go on the road from New York than it is from L.A.
It fully is,
and
dude.
The Rocky Mountains is literally the reason why that is true.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's
okay, because if you live in L.A. and you want to go on the road and you're going to get in your car in L.A. and go drive to go on the road, you basically have to be west of the Rockies.
Yep.
Okay, so you really... California, Oregon, Washington, maybe Montana, you know, Nevada, New Mexico. But other than that, but if you're east of the Rockies, if you live in Chicago, if you live in Detroit, if you live in Michigan, it doesn't matter. Get in your car and drive. I would fly from LA to New York, take my friend's car, and then drive out on the road for 6-8 weeks.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And everything is a drive.
Everything was easily accessible, but on the West Coast,
man,
you're,
I know.
It's brutal.
It's
like,
brutal. It's truly like I used to do a podcast with Comedy Central. It was stand up. It was like, it was called Stand Up with Tom Tykar, and it was, I got to pick my favorite clips from the half hours and stuff. It was great.
When was this?
This was during the pandemic.
Oh,
and it was,
what a great gig to have during the pandemic.
It was awesome. It paid me. It was funny though, because it paid me just over what having no job would have paid me.
Right.
So I was like, "This kind of
had you taken the money?
If I had taken the money, So I wasn't taking the money, and all my friends were like, "This rules!" Like,
I got screwed because I was on the road 35 weeks a year plus by up until the pandemic, and so I got that money.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's
and
great.
I didn't have to go anywhere.
That rule. I would have. I wish I had.
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
I got like 3 weeks of the money because I had a writing job for part of it.
Right.
Which was great because it was like, that was more money. But the podcast was paying me just enough. And I was like, oh man, I hope this. If the pod had gone through the pandemic to when I was touring, it would have changed my life. But because Comedy Central changed presidents and then. They canceled everything.
Right.
But it was doing good. It was like right along with like Mark Maron's podcast, like in the charts. And I was like, we're doing good. It's so hard to have a hit podcast.
That's why you had to have another one.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
But people were asking me for comedy advice all the time. I got an email yesterday. I still get emails from comedians because they listen to that podcast.
That's amazing.
And they're like, hey, you talk a lot about cities to move to. I live in wherever I'm thinking about moving. And I always tell them, I'm like, if you're a stand-up, move to either. Now Austin is on the market because where it wasn't.
Huge,
it's a little
because of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to tell people not to move to Austin because I was like, it's a little oversaturated. I love it there, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, there's like 7 clubs or
everybody,
something. It's wild.
Everybody relocated.
So I don't, So I don't tell people not to do that anymore. But it's like I tell them New York, Chicago. Even maybe like Denver over LA. Always tell people stay away from LA.
I agree 100%. Even Seattle.
Yeah.
Great comedy town.
Sure.
And back in the day, Seattle had like 6 clubs and it was insane. Between San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah.
But by the way,
San Francisco
great comedy
town.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going out there next week, actually.
Absolutely. Where are you working?
I'm doing Punchline.
Have you done the Throck yet?
No, I don't
I'll hook you up. Oh, I got a great gig I'll hook you up with.
Yeah, yeah, let me know.
I got a great gig I'll hook you up with.
The Throck.
Oh, talk about respecting your comics.
It's a gorgeous theater. It's owned by a nonprofit.
Full house.
So one night, the money's insane.
Dude, let me
know. And Robin Williams, I've been doing this room for a long time.
Yeah,
I say room, but it's a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater was built in like 1920.
Yeah.
And the woman who runs it, Lucy Mercer, shout out to Lucy. She's amazing.
Lucy.
And Robin lived like 10 minutes away.
Sure.
So when you were doing the gig, you never knew, but Robin or Mort Saul would just saunter in.
Oh, wow.
And it was his hub.
It was Robin's hub. And even if he wasn't working, he would just come and hang out in the green room and eat pizza with you just because he wanted to hang out with the comics.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right 10 minutes from his house.
Damn, that
rules.
The
Throckmorton Theater is great, and I will be happy to hook you up
with
that gig.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm always looking for stuff I can drive to, man, because I fly every weekend, and I'm getting too old, man.
It's
brutal.
Hard. It is.
It's brutal.
I swear, it does take a physical toll.
Yeah.
The road is.
Yes.
When I started going on the road, I was 22.
Yeah.
And I did it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my job.
Sure. Yeah.
Until
yeah.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when I was.
How's it feel? Like, you're not doing the road now?
I still go out, but not like I used to, but I miss it.
Yeah.
And my bank account misses it.
Yeah.
And I know I need to be going out more, but now I'm getting married. And Sarah's like, I don't want to marry someone who's going to be on the road all the time.
Well, this is the hard thing, man.
This is the job. Yeah. And,
all right.
You know,
we continue.
Ralph's.
Next episode of Drinking During Business Hours. You know, will I she let go, him
I'm
go on the road?
The real drinking.
I don't want to go to work at Kroger.
Yeah.
But
oh my
it, you know, to me, it does take a toll.
Yeah.
There is that toll.
Sure.
I don't want the toll. I don't want coming back the toll rich.
Of course.
Right? But yeah. I love it. See, I still love it. I love checking into the hotel.
I like that part.
I love it all.
The hotel is great.
I like it.
I do love the hotel part.
I like the road.
This is the other thing that sucks about LA, and this is the last bad thing I'll say about LA.
No, it's not. It's just on the show.
Yeah. But one thing that was way better about New York is like the flight times. Like you have to fly out of LAX at 5 a.m.
Right.
If you have a show that night.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm not traveling in a day early. I'm already losing this time with my wife.
Yeah,
I can't do that because my wife is already pissed off that I'm leaving as much as I am. So it's like, I don't want to burn an extra day, but I get it. Like, I would love to do a day early where you have a night to relax.
But it's up at 3 a.m, slept to LAX.
Try to sleep on the plane.
Right.
Try to work out of the gym hotel or a hotel gym. And like, and then you perform that night. Or a lot of times you get a delay and then you're like, okay,
I'm going to miss my show. I got to go.
Yeah, it's tight. I missed a fucking, my car was broken down and I was doing San Francisco and I missed a San Francisco show because the flight was so fucked. And I was like, the airlines are brutal now. But
it's
the 4 a.m. shit is brutal.
And you haven't pooped.
Yeah.
You know, like it screws up your whole system.
I know.
You know, like you don't feel good when you're up there. You're all crampy. Is it just me? All right. Anyway, I'll stop. I just brought up poop and we got to, and Rich is like, we got to wrap.
So Tom, tell our listeners where they can find you.
So I'm on, I post oh yeah. Is this,
No, it's all good.
I post clips on Instagram. That's @TomTakkar. It's spelled like Thacker with 2 K's. It's THAKKAR. And then YouTube, I have a special that is called Takkar Noir. It's on Sirius. It's on YouTube for free. And then I have a podcast with a bunch of episodes called Stand By Your Band that I stopped doing that you can listen to, but it's really fun. Where comedians defend music that people make fun of, like Nickelback, whatever. And then I have a new podcast on the way. I'm not sure when it's going to come out yet, but it's called Crying on the Playground, where I have comedians and authors and actors and stuff come on and tell embarrassing stories about grade school.
We would love to.
Yeah,
I like that. That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
And and I'm really honored that you're going to be at Bottle Shock. You're going to do my show.
Our
show, right? Because
I know our show. That's right.
Our
community property, ladies.
At the Hollywood Improv.
Till death or low ticket sales do us part.
To death or cancellation do we part.
You're going to be on our show, Bottle Shock Comedy, at the
which
Hollywood
is a great
Improv.
Show, and it's at the Improv.
I'm excited. I love that. I love the Improv.
Shout out to the Improv and Rita and everyone there.
Yes, exactly. We've been there for over 2 years, and it's
awesome.
Always a full house.
Always
and a great
crowd. Show.
Which room do you do
the
it in?
Lab.
We're in the lab right now.
I like the lab.
I do, too.
I did a show there and Seinfeld
that like
came
the lab.
In.
Yeah, well, every,
and did it.
Dave
and he goes,
Chappelle,
everyone,
everybody's,
he was bitching, though. The show was kind of bad.
Everyone I know who's a major, Sandler,
everyone
will do the
in.
Lab except for Harlan Williams.
Weird.
Harlan,
man, I love him too. He's so
and
funny.
And I've known Harlan for a million years, and we always greet each other the same way. Bastard! But he just won't do the lab.
Well, some people are uncomfortable with the challenge because the pillars are kind of.
It's
and they're,
weird.
They're
yeah.
renovating,
sure.
by the way.
Oh,
gonna,
that's cool.
Yes.
Every
yes.
obstacle makes you better.
But anyway,
all, okay,
but you're going to be on Bottle Shock March 28th, which is a Thursday at 9:30 p.m. We never have Thursday night shows.
Right.
But because we're getting married this month, we had to do a little bit of finagling with our schedules. We're normally the second Sunday of every month.
Sure.
Where do people find you really quickly? We've got a minute and a half.
You're fine.
Okay.
We're doing that. We're fine. We have another hour. We're all good. Yeah. We are, we're good. We booked it till
1 to 3. And
we got
to
go. Oh,
thank
shit.
You.
Okay.
Where do people find you?
Like, why is he doing
this? Is this how the marriage is going to be? Yep. Where do people find you, please?
I was just saying you communicate
know,
so well.
You guys know where to find me. I'm at Sarah Halstead on all socials.
And I'm at richchassler.com. And a quick shout out to our sponsor, Riedel. For
Riedel
always
glassware,
supplying
thank
us with
you.
Great wine glassware, pretty easy podcast, improv. We love you guys. Remember, you can email us at drinkingduringbusinesshours@gmail.com.
And the next episode, we're going to drink Wairau River Sauvignon
Wairau
Blanc.
Wairau River Sauvignon Blanc.
Pick it up so you can drink with us.
There you go.
We love
you.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks
Tom.
For having me.
Bye.